I'd like to speak concerning the Battle of Babylon, Iraq and Kuwait in Bible prophecy. I'll probably preach on this again Sunday night. A lot of preach will probably be on Saturday night. A lot of preach on Jordan. I'm really one night short for what I want to cover that I feel is essential that we consider at this time. And over the years when we have certain crises in the Middle East, I've tried to preach, deal with that area of Bible prophecy dealing with those nations. I mentioned the other night that you should be reading your scriptures, Isaiah chapters 13 and 14, Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, Ezekiel 29, 30, 31, and 32, and we dealt with those scriptures last night, then Revelation 17 and 18. In the stretch of scriptures, the prophet gives prophecies against nations. Sometimes against cities. And he called them a burden. In Isaiah 13, verse 1, he says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gate of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified one. I have also called my mighty one for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. He describes the multitude of nations. He describes them very much like Joel described there. Chariots skipping from mountain to mountain. Like a mighty, mighty thundering noise, like a great waterfall of the rushing of mighty waters, as they're described in Isaiah 17 under the battle of Damascus in Syria. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise, of the kingdoms of nations. I think that is a very significant verse. For a number of years, different Bible scholars have alluded to the United Nations under this verse. The kingdoms of nations. We have seen the last few days the most efficient cooperation in the history of the United Nations. Never have they cooperated like this. Mr. Baker said, we must execute the will of the United Nations, this Middle East situation. And I was so surprised, I said, since when? We never did before. No one paid too much attention to them unless it was to their advantage. It may be setting a new precedent. Pastor and I have compared notes almost all day long or when we've been together. Pastor has said, I doubt if we'll ever get out of the Middle East. It's going to be hard to undo what we're doing. We can't help but wonder if this isn't step number one on countdown to Armageddon. Well, that's exciting. Not frightening, but exciting. The kingdoms of the nations gather together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. Now God has great armies. He has armies of angels. 10,000 times 10,000. He says to 10,000, go, and they go. And thousands come, and they come. He has a mighty army. Joel describes that. But the armies of this world are puppets in the hand of God. He can turn the heart of the king. He can turn the heart of the nations. Daniel said, the Most High still ruleth in the kingdoms of men and appointed over them whomsoever he will. God is still on the throne. He turned the heart of Pharaoh in ancient Egypt. He turned the heart of Sennacherib and sent him home to Assyria. He dealt in phenomenal way with Nebuchadnezzar. He brought about his prophetic plan. He interfered in the life flow of Cyrus the Great and fulfilled the prophecies he gave of him 150 years before he was born. Prophecies as written in Isaiah 44 and 45. History tells the story of how he intervened in the life of both Alexander the Great and Caesar. I have comforting news for you. God is still on the throne. Your folk song says he holds the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. This world is not off course. We're coming down the corridors of Bible prophecy, point by point, to fulfillment. This prophecy is directed towards Babylon. From the other night, I refresh your mind. Babylon is Iraq. Or better yet, more technically, Iraq is Babylon. Iraq is Babylon. Say it. Iraq is Babylon. Turn to someone next to you and say, Iraq is Babylon. It's not New York City. It's not London. Though books have been written, ancient books, many years ago, writers claimed that Paris was Babylon. The fact that you act like Babylon doesn't make you Babylon. You may have the spirit of Babylon, that doesn't make you Babylon. Any more than if you act like a Californian, it makes you Californian. Act like an Okie, doesn't make you an Okie. And this is a great, great area of Bible prophecy. We may not be able to get it all together, and Pastor Smith may have to work on it several times, but it's a timely subject. And we may run out of time. The rapture may sound before we really get all of these prophecies in your head and heart. But this is one of the big significant prophecies dealing with the Battle of Babylon. The Lord mustereth the host of the battle. Joel chapter 1 and 2 describes the army of the Lord. Angels are going to be involved, as well as nations in this battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Babylon is going to be destroyed on a national scale, not just a city scale, the whole land, the whole nation, from one end to other. That nation that sits the cradle of the old Fertile Crescent between the Tigris and Euphrates River, that is building up mighty cities in these last days, is going to be the victim of God's indignant anger and judgment. It's one of the great themes of the Old Testament prophets. The day of God's indignation, the day of his anger, the day of his wrath, the great day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, I remind you, is mentioned in that terminology 24 times in the Scripture, 4 times in the New Testament, and 20 in the Old. But it's used dozens and dozens of more times under these other terminologies. The day of God's anger, the day of God's wrath, the day when his wine cup of fury is full. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he has not appointed us to wrath. Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them, as the veil upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He goes on to say, a few verses later, they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Be ye not of the night, ye of the day. God hath not appointed you to wrath, but unto salvation and a sound mind. This is the way I read my Bible. This is the way the Assemblies of God believe. This is the way evangelicals and fundamentalists believe. This is the way those that take the Bible literally believe, that Jesus could come any moment. It's called the imminent return of the Lord. And that the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the true believers, won't go through 1 minute of the great tribulation of God's wrath. I believe it. I preach it. I believe the Bible teaches it. I believe with all of my heart. Can you hear me? Don't look so sad about it. Look glad about it. It's good news, not bad news. It's glad news, not sad news. I feel a preach coming on. It's good news, folks. Oh, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but unto salvation and a sound mind. We're not looking for Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not looking for the mark of the beast, we're looking for the ink mark in our forehead. Hallelujah. We're looking for the mark of the love slave in the ear. We're looking for consecration and the blessed fruit of it in the holy rapture. Well, you folks take that mighty calmly. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to prevail and keep preaching anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The indignation to destroy how much of the land? Verse 5. What nation are we talking about? How do you know? What verse tells you so? Which one? Verse 1, correct. Again, verse 5. How much of the land? It's good to stick with the scripture. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. What day is it? You folks are coming along pretty well. I mean, I'm getting you trimmed up and shaped up. You're getting easier to preach to every night. You know how my lines go, and you know how you're supposed to respond. A little weak on the hallelujah, a little weak on the amen, but that's all right. What day is it? How close is it? Hey, you're helping me preach. That's good. It shall come as a destruction from, fill in the blank. The devil or the Almighty, which? Is the Lord going to pour out that kind of stuff upon his bride? You folks are doing fantastic. I may get you going like the old Model T Ford, and you crank them and they get on my magneto when they go by themselves. I might get you going, just sit down and listen to you preach for a while. So come on, folks, work your way through this 13th chapter, figure out how it goes. This is the way you should read your Bible at home. Verse by verse, and stop and say, what does it say? What does it mean? You can always be sure it means exactly what it says. comes as a destruction from the Almighty. Not a building up. He edifies the church. He builds up the church. But this is going to be a destruction when he judges the nations. Therefore shall all hands be faint. Every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid. There's going to be a lot of fear on this planet when the church is gone. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Now Jeremiah used this metaphor. It was astonished. He said, what is this? A woman, a man bent over in pain like a woman in travail? And he described the nausea that goes with radiation and nuclear activity in great vivid detail. When Brother Roy Slaughter's brother, Charles Slaughter, who was my pastor during my high school days and then my district superintendent when I started the ministry, and he was pastoring in Pocatello, I was preaching him a revival, and they had a nuclear defense clinic put on by the Civil Defense Department of the government. It ran 3.5 days. They sponsored them in every state in the United States. They invited leaders of the town, school teachers, ministers, town politicians to come and attend this. 3 days of in-depth study. They showed film, they showed slides. They gave us the nuclear arithmetic. The reason they were doing it, our nation had completely failed in getting people concerned about bomb shelters. And as a nation and as a world, we have basically taken this stand. Well, I'd just as soon be in the middle of it. And the church said, well, I'm looking for a rapture. And the world is totally fatalistic. They don't want to be bothered about it. If they're going to deal with it, they would rather shoot up on drugs and get high and forget about it or go get drunk. That was a great move a number of years ago to get people to build bomb shelters. When the late President Kennedy came to the office and he had put upon his desk the statistics, nuclear arithmetic, he was extremely alarmed. He came